She was the belle of Johnson County, Ohio River to Big Sandy, a beauty to behold like a diamond in the coal. Living in Eastern Kentucky, it is impossible to have never heard the name Loretta Lynn, the Van Leer Rose herself, a talented singer-songwriter from Kentucky's own Butcher Holler, who is Kentucky proud to this very day. So it's only fitting that a film based off of her own autobiography will be so dearly loved in her home state. Loretta Lynn has been quoted saying that she didn't think anyone would want to hear her story, but we just can't get enough of it.
Thank you for tuning in to Weird Appalachia, where we like to get weird, talk about art. Sometimes we even watch movies. I'm Erin.
And I'm Brooke.
And today it's all about the legendary Loretta Lynn, namely the 1980 biopic about her life, Coal Miner's Daughter. And just to preface, we call our movie episodes Bad Movie Banter.
This is definitely not a bad movie.
It's an excellent movie.
It's amazing.
It's actually one of my like top 10 favorite movies.
It's great.
I love it so much. Like recently, the only reason why I even had the idea that we should do Coal Miner's Daughter, I'm like through the house. Someone's listening. Well, they're watching the movie in like, the living room. And I hear it, and I know exactly what they're watching because I've seen it so many.
And Sissy Spacek, her accent stuff is just perfect.
Do you know Loretta Lynn picked her?
Did she really? I did not know
that. She went on Johnny Carson and said before Sissy Spacek had any clue that this was happening.
Yeah.
She didn't even agree to it. She didn't even know that this was a thing yet, I don't think. Or if she did, she just wasn't acknowledging it. And she told Johnny Carson, she's like, Sissy Spacek's going to play me in my movie.
Oh my God.
And
that sounds just like
she was going to turn it down. She was going to turn it down. I read somewhere that she was really considering just passing up the role. She had already had like an Oscar nod for Carrie, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, an amazing movie.
She was ready to turn it down, I think, in favor of another role, maybe. But she heard Coal Miner's Daughter on the radio.
Well, good thing she didn't because she won an Oscar for her performance.
And she definitely deserved it.
I think it's the best performance of her life.
It was so good.
It was incredible performance.
She did the singing.
And her voice is A1.
She sounds like Loretta.
She has an excellent voice.
I guess she probably mirrored her for a while just to like
get She had to, and those accents, the way she talked, and the way she held herself.
Every little mannerism that Loretta had, she adopted. And it was, you would think that she was just somebody picked up out of a holler.
You would. You would never have known. You'd never have known. She's a very good actress.
But Loretta Lynn, she's like local legend.
Yes.
Because we live in McGoffin County.
She's from what? Van Leer?
Van Leer, yeah.
Which is not far at all.
Like a county over from us.
Skip and a hop.
You can go see her home place.
Butcher Holler.
The movie portrays it exactly as it is.
It literally looks just like it. Is it Butcher Holler where they filmed it?
I think that's part.
It literally looks just like it.
I think they did just that portion of the movie.
Of where she was growing up.
Yeah.
The house is identical.
Because, I mean, why?
Why not?
Why recreate it when you just go there?
Yeah.
The early parts of the movie are some of my
favorite. They're the best parts, I think.
Because
of her growing up.
You know, we live here, and even though we grew up in the 90s and 2000s, there's a lot of things that were still really similar.
They're no different.
Which I guess, let's see, she was famous in the 70s. I guess her childhood
was... But she was young when she got famous. Pretty young.
Yeah. I'd say, what, like late 60s, early 70s? She got married at 13.
13 years
13
old.
13 years old.
Back then, though, that's what people did around here. They did.
Yeah.
They got married. She was 13, and he was 21.
That sounds so outlandish right now to us right now in these times. But a lot of people did that.
And I also, people who did. 13-year-olds back then, especially females, totally different maturity level.
Yeah.
Than 13-year-olds now.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But she still had struggles in the movie that were kind of uncomfortable, being 13 and marrying someone 21 years old. But.
And I hate to, I want this to be a wholesome episode, but...
There's a lot of non-wholesome things in this movie.
You know, this was her life. She's telling her life story, and some uncomfortable things happened.
Yeah.
But that's part of Loretta's charm. She's unapologetically herself, always has been.
I saw a quote when she's talking about like her life with Doolittle.
Yeah.
And she's like, he never hit me, I didn't hit him back twice. But that's true. She did. Yeah. Even in the movie it shows, he got up to hit her and she'd knock him out with her purse. Like literally he was like, stop hitting
me. He knew she's gonna deck him.
Yeah.
Not condoning that kind of stuff whatsoever, but
don't let somebody hit you.
But that was her story. She told her story the way it happened.
She did. She didn't make up for nothing. She's very honest, which I love about her.
Oh, yeah.
She's a very spunky, kind of feisty person. But at the same time, she's very honest and very proud of herself and stern in her ways, you know.
I love that. She never backed down about being Appalachian.
No. And she wasn't ashamed of her problems either.
Yeah. But she was a gutsy, she was a very ballsy songwriter.
She was. Yeah, that scene, there's a scene where she catches Dew, like, totally wasted, obviously, in the car. And mm-hmm. you remember that? And some woman's wearing his hat and, like, smooching on him. Yeah. And she's like,
and he's like crazy drunk.
Yeah, and she don't even know what's going on, basically.
He's like sloppy drunk for half the movie.
Yeah. She had struggles with alcoholism and stuff, but she says, she looks at that woman, she says, if you still want your arm, you better get it off my husband. And then pulls him out and says, come on, dude. And then goes back and gets his hat off her head. And then the next day she's writing that song, You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man. He said, well, what's that about? And she said, well, you don't know.
She just, like, kicks him.
Yeah. He don't say a word.
You know, back in high school, me and my good friend Danielle, we quoted it all the time. And I know people thought we were the biggest losers.
So many good quotes, though.
Like the one scene where it's Christmas and she gets an extra dress. She gets an extra present.
Yes.
And her brother's like, how come they get something extra?
Yeah, extra. People, I say that sometimes, jokingly, but.
We would always say it in the lunch line. If someone got, like, extra sandwich.
Oh, that's funny.
My friend would be like,
extra.
Ain't no fire, she got something extra.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about the actual plot of the movie. You start, you know, you get to know Loretta, young Loretta.
Yeah.
Like, 13-year-old Loretta. The first time I watched it, I didn't realize. I was young when I watched it the first time. I didn't know she was so young when she got married.
She looked older. Yeah. Like, Sissy Spacek kind of has that mature look. Well, she looks older than her age.
Yeah.
And she looked older than her age in the movie. And in real life, she probably did, too. I mean, back then, times were hard. And,
yeah.
You know, they froze to death and worked so hard. You know, she talks about that all the time.
And it's, you know, she came from a big family.
Yeah.
Her mommy probably started having children.
Six brothers.
Her mommy probably started having children just as young as what Loretta did. Yeah. She had, what, like 4 kids by the time she was 19 years old? I can't imagine.
Well, Loretta ended up having 6 kids. Twins.
Twins
at the very end.
Oh my gosh.
Peggy and Patsy. She named one after Patsy Cline because she passed away.
And they ended up being, you know, singers. And they, I saw somewhere that when they were pursuing their singing career, that her daughters did not want to use her name. They wanted to make it on their own accord, which I think is really admirable.
Yeah, that is.
But the courtship between Doolittle, or Mooney, as people call him, because it was Moonshine.
Yeah.
Their courtship in the movie was, it was really sweet.
It was. And I've never heard that name. But his name really wasn't Doolittle either. It was like Oliver.
Yeah.
Oliver Lynn. They called him Mooney and Doolittle. And then she called him Doo. Doo. She'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Doo.
I drive my man crazy because he'll, like, go to the door, like, try to get my attention and grunt. And I'll be like, quit making that noise. You sound like an old bird, dude.
Yeah, she says that multiple times. You sound like a big old bird.
He just shakes his head and walks away.
Yeah, they had this crazy relationship where, like, it was so ironic and just strange, her life, because if she hadn't have met him, and she's from this little town in eastern Kentucky, you know, like us, if she hadn't have never met him, and he hadn't have ever wanted to get out of there, and he hadn't have pushed her, she would have never been famous. No one had ever heard of her.
That's really true.
And they had this love-hate relationship where they were crazy over each other and loved each other so much. To the very end, she's never married again.
Yeah, she still writes songs about him.
Still writes songs about him, misses him, you know. They had 6 kids together.
And, I mean, sure, they had their ups and downs, and Doolittle was a troubled man.
He was.
But he really believed
in
her.
But he loved her, you could tell.
He did, and he believed in her gift. But also, I don't want to, like, say anything negative, but I also kind of wonder if, you know, there's a scene where they're talking about moonshining,
mm-hmm.
and the guy says, you know, and this rings true even to this day about our area that we live in. If you're going to be here, the only options that you have is coal mine, moonshine, or move on down the line.
Yeah.
And that's
so true. If you're from this area. if you are from this area, like when I've watched that movie a million times, but I, you know, you forget things. Well, when we watched it again, rewatched it, and I heard that quote, I just was like, it hits you like a ton of bricks.
It's really true.
Because even today,
like, you can hear it as really, a young person not thinking anything of it.
It's true, because it's so, people don't understand the struggle of like having any kind of career in this area or anything, unless you're doing some kind of work like that or doing something illegal. I mean, to be honest, it's very difficult.
Most of our youth moves away.
Yeah.
Unless they, and we have had some progress of people just, you know, starting their own businesses and stuff, but typically it's like restaurants. But
it's hard. It's hard even for them. They struggle.
It's a really heavy quote, like that early in the movie.
And I don't think that quote would be as pertinent or impactful on someone that wasn't from here or grew up here.
I think so, too. Because I'm sure when they hear that, they're like, someone who wasn't from here watched the movie and heard that, they're just clever. Like, wow, that's just a cute line they put in there. It's really true.
It's true.
So, one of my favorite parts from the courtship, we'll call it, is the pie. When he gets her pie. Spoiler alert.
He takes a big bite of it with his pocket knife and he spits it out in the fire. She don't see him and he said, Loretta, you made a lot of chocolate pies. She said, well, no, just this one.
And she, what was it? She misplaced.
She put salt.
Salt instead of sugar.
He said, well, did you put plenty of salt in that pie? And she says, something like a... there ain't no salt in chocolate pies. What are you talking about?
You can tell she had no clue.
Yeah, and then she looked at him like, oh my God. He said, well, they're both white. That'd be an easy mistake, Loretta.
Even then, he was just like champion for her.
Yeah, he was.
But I didn't want to say it seemed like I was being negative in the fact that I thought this, but I almost kind of felt like Loretta was like his ticket. He's like, this
for
girl
a while,
can make
that's
it.
That's how it felt.
But then, I don't think
but
it
then
was...
at the end, like, he was lonely because she got famous and he missed her being around all the time.
I don't think it was anything like he didn't love her or anything. Like, he just got her because he thought, you know, she could take him somewhere.
He had no idea when...
Yeah.
That she could even sing when he got with her.
But I think when he heard her, he was just like, this girl.
Yeah.
She can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have birds?
It's crows in the backyard. I'm not kidding. There's a murder of crows in the backyard. It freaks me out to beyond belief.
Oh my gosh, we're in a room together. Yeah. We've done 2 episodes through Discord where Brooke sounds like a robot.
I sound like a hillbilly robot.
And we have a website. Like, getting totally off topic, but we have a website that I'm super proud of. You should go
to. It looks great.
Go to weirdappalachia.com. Nice little plug there. But my absolute favorite part is when they start actually just going, they make that little record in the jankiest way they possibly can.
Yeah, and he takes that, I love when he takes that picture of her at home.
Yes.
And he tells the kids, they're like, Mommy. And he's like, now move out of the way. Then he feels bad for telling them something, so he's like, now I love you.
Yeah. And he's like, now you're beautiful already.
She
I don't
says,
want you to
ever. Want me to do? Where do you want me to look? He said, to heaven.
And he's just like, I think you're beautiful. Now, don't you ever be putting none of that old makeup or nothing on.
No, he didn't
on.
Like that.
He hated that. And that comes back
I
later.
I think he thought, well, she's so pretty. I don't want her to put makeup on. He was afraid.
I think he just thought jealous. That. I think he held her on a different level. Because, like,
he
she
thought
was like
she was a queen.
Yeah.
He did.
He, and you know, women who wore a lot of makeup and stuff, I think, not, I'm not saying this.
He's saying she didn't need it.
I think he thought that was like a trashy thing, and he didn't want his wife to be trashy because she was too classy for
He'd
that.
He'd had enough trashy women.
Yeah. But when they're going around, like, radio station to radio station.
I love it. And they leave the babies with their mommy.
The best part of the movie. And, you know, she says she would refer to herself all the time as being, like, dumb or ignorant.
Yeah, well, he calls her stupid, and she says... Now, I'm not stupid. I'm ignorant.
Yeah.
Which is true. People don't know that. There's a difference.
There is a difference. There is.
Stupid is a very rude word. Ignorant is not. People think it is, but it's not. It just means you don't know any better.
You've just not been taught.
And that's she was smart enough to know the difference.
That's very true. I didn't really thought about it that way, but yeah. You know, they tell her, you're charming. You're great. We love you just as you are. Just say whatever comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And it just worked for her up to one point.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that scene was hilarious.
She starts talking about bologna.
Well, they go to the store, and he buys just a little pack of bologna, and she says, she says, can we buy the kids some suckers? And he says, well, we ain't got the money for it. Well, I mean, it's broke for a long time. We ain't got the money for it. I mean,
they're just living on the road.
Yeah. And she says, I'm sure we're getting sick of this bologna. And he says, you know what they say about bologna, don't you? And she said, what? And he said, it makes you horny.
And she's like, what's that mean? What's that mean? Yeah. And no one tells her, bless her heart. It wasn't her fault.
No. He says, you're so stupid, you don't know what horny means. And then she goes and says it on the air, on the radio back in the 70s.
She's like,
which was a big no-no.
In her actual interview, she goes, and now Dale gets acting horny. And the more I laugh, the hornier he got. And, you know, they're just chastising her, like, you can't talk like this. I don't know what you do back where you're from. You can't do this on the radio. And they have no clue that they, like, have a hit record.
Yeah. That's when she found out.
After being scolded for saying horny on the radio.
Yeah, because the other dude's like, don't pay no attention to him. He's going to play you if you got a hit record. She's like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And which is wild, because you would think if you're 14 nationwide with your record,
that
you today you'd be filthy rich from that. But I think back then they didn't even know.
It's so different back then.
And all they had was radio. You know, they didn't know.
And I thought that was great, because at that point she's just looking at him like, I have no idea. And he's like, that really ain't no act, is it?
Yeah, and Dude says, if you know already, you know that ain't no act.
Oh, and she, I mean, I you, any interview you ever see her in, she's, that's her.
It is. And still, to this day, she's still alive. She's what, like 80s?
I would love to meet Lori Lynn.
I would too. And she's not been in very good health lately. She had a stroke.
It makes me so sad. I heard she was going on tour.
She is. She's she's better from the stroke.
I mean, she's just going to keep
going. She's never been a drinker, smoker, nothing.
No.
She's never done
that. But they do address that in the movie. She did get on pills for a while.
Well, she took pills for her headaches.
But, you know, I don't think people really understood around that time. You know, doctors just gave you whatever.
Yeah, they did, and especially if you were famous and rich. I mean, they just handed you over pills.
I don't think it was anything intentional whatsoever. It just happened.
No. She'd take them because her daddy would get them headaches because he had black lungs from the coal mines. That's how he died. And speaking of her dad, she was very close with her father.
Yeah.
And he was an excellent father.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
I think it broke her heart to not be there for a long time while she was chasing her dream.
Well, I love that scene when they moved. Well, he asked Dude when he asked him to marry. I love that scene. He goes and he says, you want to get married tomorrow? I've got this money. I've been saving up my paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
She says, ask Daddy. So he gets up and goes and asks. And he said, ask May or whatever her mom's name was. And then he goes, and they go back and forth. And she said, you got to wait till they're in the bed together and catch them. They'll do this all night.
The one part that's super emotional in the actual movie is when she has that vision of her daddy. And she just knows. She just knows something's happened. And I've heard so many people, older people.
I have too.
Say things like that. Yeah. Like, they'll get visions.
They'll say they saw them or saw something related to them.
It's an unexplainable thing, but it's powerful.
Yeah. My mom, when I was still in high school, well, I was out of high school, but not very long. She was in bed one night, and they were just laying there about sleep. It was dark, and my brother was out. I think he was like a senior in high school. It's like 10:30 at night or something. And all of a sudden, she just pops up out of the bed, and she starts freaking out, bawling, crying. And holding my stepdad, he's like, what's wrong, what's wrong, you know? And she says, something's wrong with Shane. Something's wrong. Something is bad happened to him. Sure enough, it's just sitting there. Here, the phone rings like 2 minutes later. And it's Shane, and he's like, I got in a wreck, Mom.
Oh, my God.
He got a real bad wreck.
That's so crazy how stuff like
that
happens.
She does that. She has premonitions about
stuff
like that.
I've heard so many things like that. We need to do an episode on that alone.
We do. It's very interesting. My mom has always sensed that, though. Like, sensed stuff about her kids or, like, her mother. Stuff like that. Yeah. I got a little off topic, but she had a great, like an amazing, more than her other brothers. I think she just had brothers. I don't think she had any sisters. But more than her brothers, she was the closest with her dad.
Yeah.
He was an excellent father. But that one scene when she is due takes her and says we're going to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kicked her out and all that before that. They've got into it. But they go to the train tracks, her and her dad, and he sent money for her to come on to Washington. And her dad hugs her and says, Loretti, this is the last time I'm ever going to see you.
That's heartbreaking.
I know. And she said, no, it ain't, Daddy. And he says, yeah, it might not be, but it's the last time I'm going to ever see you as my little girl.
Ugh, at least you want to cry just talking about it right now.
It crushed me. Especially so having kids. Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
My 13-year-old.
And I guess he was right, too, wasn't he? I don't think she saw
him. He never saw her again.
That's so sad.
But she thought that she would.
Yeah.
Because he was young. He wasn't that old. But, you know, they had kids so young back then. They was pretty young when they got older. But it just, you know, he just knew it. He's like, I'm never going to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
He was sickly, though. He worked in the coal mines. And back then it wasn't as open as it is now. It's like, yeah. It was so compacted.
A lot of people got sick from
it. Got black lung and just killed them. There's no...
It's like that, you'll never leave Harlan alive.
Yeah.
Those lyrics at the end, like where it says, you spend your life digging coal from the bottom of your grave.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so haunting. It gives me chills.
It is haunting. That's a perfect word for that.
But that was a lot
and
of
the blackness reality. And darkness of coal anyway. And it just like, I don't know. It's a very haunting profession.
And the songs about it and everything. It paints a picture of Appalachia that I think it gives an eeriness to where we live. And it's not. You come here, it's not. But when you hear people talk about it and in stories and stuff, it just sounds like this creepy-ass place. We're not creepy.
It's a very eccentric, weird area.
It is.
And if you go anywhere else, you know, I lived in Tennessee for a while, and it's still a very country area, but it's totally different.
Yeah.
Eerie, like vacant.
Yeah.
Void. Feel
it's like, as much as I love it here, I'm not going to walk in the hills alone.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
No, don't do that. Big mistake.
Plenty of reasons why, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people who listen to the podcast know this about me, but I was a professional country singer for a long time.
Yeah.
And on the last episode, we took quite a deep dive into our non-country music roots.
Yeah.
Our, like, discovery of other things.
Especially Chris.
Oh, yeah. He's out there. I don't know if he's ever liked country music.
No.
But, there was a period of time where, you know, country music just wasn't, it wasn't cool. That wasn't like me saying that. It was just, it was kind of falling out of fashion. But I think that was more because it was taking this weird pop direction around the time that we were in high school.
Yeah, it still has that direction.
And I don't care for that. I'll just be 100% honest. I don't care for pop country. But Loretta Lynn, Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton,
Patsy Cline,
Hank Williams, all of that.
George
Jones. I'm here for that. I can listen to some old school country music all day long.
There isn't it. I mean, it's great music.
It is.
Even if you don't like people, when they say they don't like country, that's what they mean, is this new country.
Yeah.
Because that's the idea of what it's turned into today.
Yeah. We had some, you know, around the time that we were in high school, we had some standouts like Garth Brooks.
Well, yeah.
He's an artist.
But still now today, that's old.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
Garth Brooks is awesome.
Our youth, he was like a big deal.
Yeah. When we were real young, not
and
really
he was
in
country.
High school.
But he kind of pushed he pushed the limits of what country was.
Yeah.
But all these people that we're talking about, Loretta Lynn especially, pushed the limits.
Oh, yeah.
Like The Peel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, there's a list online. I don't remember which website. Maybe it was Rolling Stone or someone else. Just a countdown list of her ballsiest songs. And you know The Peel's on there.
Yeah.
That was definitely a scandal in that time.
And You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man. That's
amazing. In a sea of things like Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that one. Yeah, sure. Stand By Your Man. But also, don't just support him, like, blindly mistreating you.
Exactly.
And that felt like what that song was about. Loretta chose to stay with a man who, you know, he got rowdy. But she knocked his ass in line and wrote a song about it.
Yeah. She didn't let him get away with it. There was scenes in the movie where he would say, you know, get that makeup off your face, you hear me, woman?
So yeah.
Get real mad, he'd be drunk.
And she was, like, trying to knock the shit back out of him.
She said, no. And she'd run off real fast.
But they actually, like, get physical in a parking lot, and Patsy Cline has to, like, pull them off each other.
Her husband, yeah.
Their friendship was one of the most beautiful parts of the movie, though.
It was. And she before she became famous, Patsy was already famous. And she loved Patsy Cline, and she would sing her songs to her kids as she was going in canning. And she talks about canning apple butter and the movie, and I'm just thinking, that is so crazy. It's just our life.
Yeah. It's insane to see something you've lived on TV.
Yeah.
Period.
And it be real.
Yeah, and it be authentic, and you're not just sitting there being like, well, they got this right.
I was talking about how authentic the accents were.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Usually, if you see a movie about someone in Kentucky, they do not have a very good accent.
Yeah.
It sounds like...
Sounds fake.
So fake.
Yeah.
It just sounds like someone... Just trying to have a Kentucky accent,
I guess. Yeah, it sounds like insert generic southern accent here.
Yeah, it's just a generic southern accent. There's very different southern accents.
Oh, yeah.
They do more of that Texas accent usually when they're trying to be southern.
That real southern girl.
Totally different.
Ours is different.
Totally different. I don't even know. I mean,
I've had a listener tell me that a lot of Appalachian pronunciations are from like Gaelic.
Yeah.
Origins and stuff like that.
Well, you know what's so strange? One time, I spent some time in Costa Rica, and when I was there, one of the Costa Ricans was like, "Are you from Iceland?" Because I had, you know, my regular blonde hair at the time. I was very pale. Yeah. And she was like, "Are you from Iceland?" And she thought my accent was like Icelandic.
Really?
And I was like,
"That's wild."
Honey, I'm from Kentucky. She said, "Kentucky?"
And it makes me even sadder when it's like a good show. It's like, the show itself is good, and they're getting things mostly right, but then the accents are just off.
Atrocious.
Like, maybe, like, Justified.
Yeah.
Because it's...
That show is a really good show. I've watched a lot of it, but their accents are...
I've not watched it, but I'm aware that it's...
They have that, it's based in Harlan, and they have that generic accent that everybody goes to, actors, you know. But I love that in this movie, she actually, Sissy Spacek, she captured the Kentucky accent.
Absolutely.
The Eastern Kentucky accent. Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah,
Kentucky.
It's different. Like, if you go to just the other side of Kentucky, people talk different.
Very different. And they still have a Southern accent. And, you know, it's
totally different.
But it's a very different, more proper.
Yeah.
There's just some things they say.
It's like the subtleties and differences of the accents. For, like, English people, like, the difference between just a standard English accent and Cockney or whatever.
You know, I think, I don't know if this is true, but there's a lot of places that they don't really have accents. They just have a generic way of speaking. And then there's, like, places like Kentucky where if you're from here, they know you're from somewhere. I mean, they're like, where are you from? Immediate when you talk, where are you from? And I've had that a lot. Like, I just accepted it because I have a very thick accent.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does, like, when I hear myself on the podcast, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so hillbilly.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not me, really. That's my accent, you know?
Yeah.
It's part of me, but it's just unreal because when I would go other places or whatever, that they had no accent even like this. They just talked
very people just
proper.
Look at you like, what did you just say?
Yeah, they say stuff, and I'll just say something random that doesn't even matter or make sense, and they're like, what?
Yeah. Experienced that plenty of times. And I am a little guilty of sometimes here on the podcast, I'll mask my accent just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because...
I mean, it does sound better, let's be honest.
Sometimes I'm afraid people can't even understand what I'm saying.
I know they can't understand what I say sometimes, but guys, you're just going to have to learn. Because I can't do that. I cannot. If I try to talk proper, I sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, I've worse than I already do sound.
I've worked in, you know... in places where I've had to talk to people on the phone, and they'll just be like, I'm sorry, what? And you have to just...
The funniest thing I've encountered a lot of is when I say ass.
Yes!
Yes. People think I'm saying ass.
Oh, no,
and I'm like,
that.
ice. I want some ice in my pop, please.
Went to Lexington. Not far. Not that far from us, Lexington, and ordered a Sprite with no ice.
Yeah.
And got blatantly laughed at.
Yeah.
Like, the cashier just couldn't even take my order.
That's an hour and a half from here.
Laughing at me, and I was like,
Lexingtonians act like they're mightier than thou, though.
Yeah, and you can't, if you order fries, they either think you're saying Sprite.
Oh my God, yes. They'll put it on the damn McDonald's thing. Small fry, and I'm thinking, I ordered a Sprite, not a fry.
Yeah.
It's so aggravating.
I'll go to where I'll say, can I have a Sprite to drink?
Yeah.
Diet.
Like, if you say diet, like Diet Coke, they put fry on there.
A fry Coke.
I didn't order a fry. Ordered a Diet Coke. But that's another thing happened to me when I was in Costa Rica. That girl, I was like, there was no food, like, from here. There was nothing. And I had to eat that Spanish food all the time, which was awesome. But I got kind of sick of it after so many months of eating it. And we went to this place, and they had ice cream. And I was just like, I want some ice cream so bad. And that girl was like, what? That was, like, one of the girls I was with, she was, like, from California or some shit. And I was like, I want some ice cream. And I pointed to the shop. And she's like, I thought you, swore to God, you said ice cream.
Oh, my God.
I was like, why would I tell you if I needed ice cream? I got so pissed off. I did. My anger came out.
It is frustrating. Major. Like, sure, it's funny. Yeah, sometimes. We talk like banjos.
Yeah.
We do. But it's frustrating.
It gets to the point if you keep on with it.
Yeah, it does.
Get over it.
And it's very frustrating for us. Anyone who listens to this who's not Southern, just take this into account next time you...
You can say something about it. Just don't keep it up.
It's very frustrating for us when you're constantly doing that, but you're constantly acting like we can't communicate with you.
Yes.
It's very frustrating.
Very frustrating.
How more take it from that?
Loretti did a great job. And Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
Did an amazing job with his accent, but he sounds like that still to this day.
He's just a talented actor, period.
He's one of those actors that plays the same role in every movie.
Kind of, yeah.
He's like Bill Murray. He plays Tommy Lee Jones in every movie he plays in.
Yeah.
You know, like No Country for Old Men, he's Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Men in Black, he's Tommy Lee Jones.
It's true. I can remember when I was young, my grandmother thinking that Tommy Lee Jones was hot.
I mean, he's a good looking man.
At that time, I was just like, what?
Yeah. But now, when you look at it.
Now, an adult looking back at, you know, his old roles, yeah, he's not a bad looking guy.
He's still good looking for an older man. He's not ugly by any means. But he's just, I think it's his personality that just attracts people to him, though, because he's got the best personality.
Yeah. I'm going to take a second to point out the background noise. The elephant in the room. I'm sure y'all hear it. We don't have an official studio or anything like that. And we were so excited about talking about this movie, I didn't even think to address this earlier, but we were just sitting here in Brooke's dining room.
Yeah.
It's raining. Windows open because it's hot as balls.
We're getting ready to play D&D. So everybody knows.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. One thing I wanted to share a little bit, I think the reason why I love this movie so much, not just because, you know, that's our life, that's our area, that's our people. I was a singer, and we did the whole Nashville thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school. When I was younger, I sung Coal Miner's Daughter so many times that was the time I didn't want to hear it.
You got sick of it.
I got really sick of it, because everywhere I'd go, there'd be one old dude that's been somewhere else I'd been singing, and asked me to sing it, and I'd have to sing it all the time.
Yeah. Such a great song.
It is a great song. Oh. Don't think that I'm dogging it. I still love it to this day. Now I've got some distance.
Right.
But a young kid singing that song over and over, I got pretty tired of it. But I went to Nashville, and that was an experience.
Yeah. I love Nashville.
It wasn't quite the same as Loretta's experience, which hers was a different time period.
It was. But even though it was a different time period, I noticed, I lived in Nashville for a lot of years, they showed the scenes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
From when he drives her in the night, she's asleep, and they wake up the next morning, she's parked outside the Ryman. The Ryman. It was just the Grand Ole Opry then.
Yeah.
But they call it the, you know, Ryman Auditorium now. Yeah. They see Tootsie's,
Bard, Tootsie's.
And what's it, Ernest Tubbs Record Shop.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there 1,000 times. I live there, and it all looks exactly the same.
Does it?
They have not changed one ounce. Of the actual downtown area, not one stitch has been changed.
That is amazing.
Ernest Tubbs Record Shop, even the inside when she played that Patsy Cline song, mm-hmm. when she got in the car wreck in the movie, you remember?
Yeah.
And she said, Patsy, if you're out there, I'm singing your song. I hope you're not mad at me that I'm singing this for you.
Yes. And when she finally meets her, she's just like, girl, you sing it better than me.
Yeah. She said, I'm afraid people's going to think you sing it better than me. They've added a couple little...
Yeah.
Shitty bars.
Some of the other iconic ones have closed down.
Yeah.
When I was there, I didn't get to do a lot of the, you know, the things you do when you go to Nashville. You go to the Ryman.
Well, that's not the funnest. The downtown area to me was not very fun because it's so modern country now.
Yeah. But. I did get to sing in one place I got to perform in one place. It was Nashville Palace.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where Randy Travis was discovered there.
Yeah. I love Randy Travis.
I was not.
Well, you know.
But it was a really fun experience. I sung with, you know, their live band.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sung Blue Moon of Kentucky.
You had those memories.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I couldn't get in a lot of places because I was underage.
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of had to go with what I could do.
Yeah. Speaking of the Ryman, they still have the Grand Ole Opry. It's there every week. The Ryman Auditorium is the best venue of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that not lightly because I've been to a lot of venues. The Ryman Auditorium is the best. If you've never been to the Ryman,
I've never been
seen
in
a
it.
Show at the Ryman, go. If you have any chance to see anybody that you like, even slightly, go.
Yeah.
The acoustics in that place is absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah. I'd say so.
Oh, my God. And it is literally like a church in there. And it's every seat in the house is great.
Yeah.
It's raised like this, and it's just...
just perfect for acoustics.
You can just speak in there, and it's just like, oh my God, I sound so awesome. You know, it's just a great venue.
Yeah.
Great.
I saw the outside of it, and supposedly Little Jimmy Dickens' truck. So said the person I was with. Probably not.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'd say that I missed out on some of the things I did, but I'm really proud of the things that I did get to do while I was there.
Exactly.
But, you know, even back then, I had a great respect for the country, female country singers especially, which, you know, I love Johnny Cash. And I did meet one time back when Marlowe's Palace was still a thing.
Yeah.
I met Johnny Cash's sister.
Really?
Yeah, I had her autograph.
Interesting. That's awesome.
She was really sweet. And she, like, sung gospel music to all the drunk people.
Oh, God. Lord.
But I had this great respect for all these female country singers. And that was a lot of the stuff that I loved to sing the most was Patsy Cline.
Yeah, I love Patsy Cline.
Loretta Lynn and stuff like that. And Beverly D'Angelo that played Patsy in the movie.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Excellent job.
She looks like her a lot.
And Patsy's a hard one to sing. Hers,
she has
hard.
Very unique voice.
But she did a good job.
She did.
And her friendship with Loretta was one of the most important parts of the movie. And
well, she had already lost her father.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she held on when her and Dude was, you know, having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
She was there, you know. And
100% of the way.
She was, and she was a true friend to her because she, you know, she...
they understood each other.
They did, and they just clicked immediate. It was just,
you know, they lived in the same world.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was there, and she kind of helped her to blossom into Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, she was this Loretta before, and it shows that. I love that in the movie, how it's... beginning, she's this very quiet kind of, you know, reserved, shy.
You watch her grow.
Loretta, that people call Loretta, you know, and then she grows into Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a really important message, too, because you watch her grow from this mousy little girl into, you know, spitfire
woman. She was
always
in there. But, you know, because you notice, like, at the beginning of the movie, after Boo gets her pie and stuff, she goes outside and his Jeep. She said, "I ain't getting in that thing.
Yeah.
It looks like something from Mars." She said, "You know, it's a Jeep." But back then, people didn't know Jeeps that well. You know, it's just. But it was, you know, I don't know. It was. I enjoyed seeing that growth, like that growth from this little girl to this woman.
Because I mean, Loretta Lynn's a feminist icon now.
Yeah.
I mean. She said things that...
and everybody loves Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
I've never...
I mean, she ruffled some feathers in her day, but everyone still loved her.
Yeah. I did a painting of Loretta Lynn, and I love the painting. It's one of my favorites I've ever done. And I done... her, she was black and white, but I just done, like, her costume, you know, blue, and blue around her, kind of. And, I mean, it just was when she was pretty young, and... I had so many people love that painting.
It's beautiful.
They wanted it.
It's like piercing blue eyes.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
But I actually sold it to her niece or something.
Keely. Yeah.
Who works here in town.
Yeah. I was, it was an art in the yard.
Yeah.
And
she's been wanting it. She had been wanting it forever to give to her Peppa.
Yeah.
Or her mama. I can't remember which one it is. One of her grandparents is how she's related. That's her like great niece. It's her great aunt.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Keely, if you're listening. I might have got it wrong, but she's very close related to her.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell because she favors her a little bit. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Yes, she does.
She does.
You had stepped away from your booth for a minute, and she came up to me and was wanting to know that like your pricing and stuff, and she was like, how much is this painting of Aunt Loretty? And it was really sweet.
But I almost wanted to just give it to her, but at the same time, I was like, I can't let this thing go.
I know, it was such a good piece of work, you can't just hand it off. Versus chewing on her earring.
I always do this later, and it feels good on my face.
She's teething.
Look, I've got pink spots on my earring. I swear it feels good. It's strange. I know. I'm weird.
That's great.
Maybe it's a tick.
Anyway. Gosh, that rain's picking up. About the saddest part that I'm ready to talk about, that the rain just starts pouring. There's a scene where, you know, Loretta finds out that she's pregnant with twins.
Yeah.
Why, at the peak of
her she don't fame. Know it's twins.
Wow, that's right. She just knows she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's just having a hard time with it because she knows how hard it's been being a mother and being on the road.
She already had four kids.
Yeah.
Nine.
And Patsy is just like, oh, honey, it's going to be great. Let me go get my maternity clothes. Yeah. She goes and gets this big box of maternity clothes. And I mean, she's there making Loretta feel good about it. Being a good friend. Being, just a champion for her friend. And that's the last time she sees her.
Yeah. She said, I'll call you Monday.
And then she gets
in. She says something like, if the rain pouring.
Just roll with it. This is sad. This is a sad story.
Yeah.
We're telling it in the rain.
Yeah. Depressing.
But she
died in a plane crash.
And she finds out through the radio.
Well, I mean.
It's so sad.
They didn't have a telephone.
She just woke up that way.
Did it like one telephone?
Of course not.
That old man lived way like a mile off in the distance, had to come. They had to phone him, remember?
Oh, it was just heartbreaking.
It was.
But we've talked about a lot of things that happened in the movie.
Yeah.
And we probably gave a lot away. But
even though we have.
There's so much more in it.
It's a great film. Just the acting in general is great.
I would recommend this movie to anybody, and if you've not seen it, go do that. You can actually watch it for like $4 on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes or help us out by sharing our posts on Facebook and other social media. Be sure to check out our brand new website, WeirdAppalachia.com, and join us for memes and behind the scenes in the Weird Appalachia Podcast Facebook group. Hey, bartender, before you close, pour us one more drink and a pitcher to go. And let's keep Appalachia weird.